Friends, we turn to the prophet Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6. So Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6, and we have these words: Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. A bit later, I would add verse 7. And this, our subject this morning is to stress the fact that the Lord has to be sought. Before you become a Christian, you must seek the Lord. You do not walk about, attend churches, do all manner of religious things, and then suddenly you say, oh, I'm a Christian now. No, the Lord has to be sought. How do we do that? Why should we seek him? Those are some of the things we'll be thinking about this morning. But before we get into that, you know, this chapter, there's that wonderful chapter that most people know, in Isaiah chapter 53, where we are told about the Lord Jesus Christ and his dying love for needy sinners, the prophecy that he will come to lay down his life for sinners. And then it is followed by a blessing that will follow that when the Savior had died, he would have a people for himself who would love him. In chapter 54, he would have a church, a body of his people. And then you come to chapter 55, and there's that great invitation. The invitation that goes forth: anyone may come, anyone who is truly thirsty, in other words, desirous of the salvation, may come and find it for himself or herself. The demo command of prayer said, Isaiah Kachan said, as I say, she read, yeah, Kase. And yes, someone in a moa, na, wo, car, sorry, ka, crap, na, e, be, an, wo, ye, papa, be, ka, when you ask, oh, I feed me a Christian, da, be, da, yes, in it, yeah. And I said, yeah, I'm away to me, I be a Christian, in a chas, one, kasa, wo, she read. It said, we hear no, na, wo, she shen, one, kasa, yeah, then she shen, no, na, yeah, then cry, who say, you, who know, any new man, if ye, be, do, Mkomo kakrara. Na ni chaste siya se. Sa Isaiah 53 no. Ayonkonsha pasedi radi Yesu Christo dinu humbaye. Aprabodi ama ni moyefo. Na wubadi ya chapter 2 asuna. Kasa si radi uwiya. Wadi mkofube brave. Baba ni nchenye. Baya ni mkofo na sorry. Na wubadi chapter 55 na. Kasa fasedi nyankopondi nsatu woke siye. Eko biyasi nina. Offering pe nina se. Se unu hiya unkwa dia. Ubi tmiaba. Do you know everyone is a seeker? We are all seeking something, isn't it? It may be something wise or foolish. It may be good or bad. It may be real or unreal. But you'll be seeking something. The thing may be seeking, may be unprofitable, but you seek it. And the things that we seek them in various ways. Some of them we seek them casually, others seriously. Some of them, in fact, we seek them so seriously that they even change the manner of our lives. They may change how much time we get to sleep. Things like this, because I'm earnestly pursuing that thing. And so, well, I cut down how much time I sleep, or things like this. And so, we are all seeking things, various things, and whether they are important or not. Well, we seek them. Now, not only that, but that the kind of things that we seek, eventually they will have impact on our lives, whether we realize this or not. At least it would have taken some of my time, some of my energy, some of my money. And I would have spent these things into that. So I am seeking. Everybody is seeking something. Now, the ocean didn't be crowd a damn said the airborne umbra. A beer said the mere crowd man who said, oh, bed down Christ the sun. And now said, yeah, when a baby or person will crown and ink can win the sun. So, who should she be? Now, dear Uber Shishano, a benya to me be a war brebble, so that's a crap or brebble, a war crime business. So, it will have an impact on your life, my dear. It's helpful to remember that. And so, it's really helpful to say, what am I most earnest in seeking? What is it that I strongly desire, that I want to get? And the Bible, as our text shows, that God is the greatest and the most profitable one to make a subject of our pursuit. God should be the greatest and the supreme object of our longing, the one we want to seek above all. I will still explain why this is so. But it's helpful to remember this. Nyankopon niya. Ehia yense nte eye dia niya yeshusha na ebru bibia so. After all, he made us. Let me very quickly read you a passage here, because it's quite interesting how God is so ordered this. I'm reading a passage from Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17. We often want the gospel services to be straightforward, but I'll read one or two verses today. I believe they have some help to us. And so, Acts chapter 17, I'm reading verses 26 and 27. This is Apostle Paul preaching to very intelligent people in Athens, and he said, verse 26, "And hath made," this is God, "and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell in all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitations, at the time we will be here, and how long we will be here, and where we would dwell," he says. That, and this is his purpose, verse 27, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. The point is this, that God even ordered the time you will be born, the country in which you will be born, so that you may seek him. God himself who made you, make sure that this is the supreme concern, that you may seek him and find him. And so you see, it is the greatest pursuit. It's the greatest thing you should desire to seek. He's the greatest one you should desire to seek. And so, he is the one we must seek. But unfortunately, we do not do it. We do not really seek him. We ignore him. We snub him. If some people even think he's not there. And that we should simply manage our own lives. As if there's no God at all. But my dear friends, you know these things are surely untrue. God is there. And he must be the one we pursue and seek. Now, what does it mean to seek him? What does it mean to seek the Lord? Now, I come to my passage again because it's helpful. Just look at it there. Look at my passage there, verse 6 again in Isaiah. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." So, seek, the word that is translated seek means to tread, to walk in a place frequently, to frequent a place or a particular pathway. And also it is used to mean to inquire into things. So the person who is walking in that place is presumed to be seeking something. That's why he's walking in that, he's not walking aimlessly, he's not merely jogging or having some exercise, physical exercise, and so he's walking in that place. There's a purpose to that. In fact, sometimes it's connected to spiritual things, sacred things. In that sense, there's an idea of worship. So the frequency of that thing is done with a sense of a desire for God. There's a sense of worshiping. There's a sense of reverence. There's a sense of humility in that. And so that's the idea. To seek, in the sense, involves inquiring with a sense of reverence. Inquiring with a sense of humility. Obviously, you cannot see God and find him out of pride, out of self-confidence, and to fill my own mind with all kinds of ideas by myself, and at the same time I say, I am seeking the Lord. Of course, that would be a great hindrance to us. And so, seeking has the idea of frequency. It's a frequent thing I do. It's a thing I long for. It is my chief concern, with a sense of deep respect for God and with humility also. Yes, we should share what's our queen's message and say, "Me pese minya intiasiebi, mu hunu enyo mebi mo."
ẹni ọmọ ibi fẹ́ nyankopọ̀ ọ̀hún na saa ẹ̀hwehwẹmu no mi yẹ ni sẹ́dí ni a mi wọ ẹnìdíẹ bi ẹ mma nyankopọ̀ ọ̀hún na afei nso mi brẹ mi hu ase sẹnsẹ mi ntumi nhwehwẹ nyankopọ̀ wọ ahopọ̀ mu. And so this is how we seek the Lord. We make that the frequent concern of our lives. This is the thing that would always come to mind. Am I the Lord's? Am I a Christian? Am I a child of God? Are my sins forgiven me? These things must be the frequent issue of my thinking. And then also it has to be done with a sense of humility. That means I acknowledge the fact that here am I. I do not know this God. I have nothing to do with Him. I don't relate to Him. I have no relationship with Him. And I rebel against Him. I sin against Him. And so you come to acknowledge this. That's the humility part in this. And there's the reverence, the respect, deep respect. You recognize the fact that God, He is Almighty God. He made me. I am not of my own. I cannot sustain my own life. I am dependent upon Him. And I need Him. I need to. I need that grace to have relationship with Him and to walk with Him. And so this is the desire. This is the seeking we're speaking about. You know the stories about the tribal movements when, there's a history in every nation, but we remember when the tribes in our country were moving from one place to another. Have you read those stories about one tribal group, the Ashantis, moving from one place in the Fantis, moving from Bronga half or whatever, and they came to Mankismen, all this kind of thing. And every time they have this leader that is going ahead of them, and they, what were they searching for? Were they merely moving about? No, they had one thing in their mind. And they were, if you read their lives, it looked like they got up in the morning and all they were thinking of is where else to go? Where else to move to? What other community to conquer? Because they were seeking a place they would regard as a very suitable place to settle. Where they could settle and entrench themselves as a people. And they were searching all over. And they were constantly seeking expansion. They would try to conquer a neighboring community close to them and try. Now, they have this in their mind. They were ever fighting. They were ever frequent about this. Now, this may be history, and you may not be connected to that. But as we said, the kind of things that you value as very important, you seek them constantly. They are ever on your mind. You're always thinking about them. You always are thinking, how can I get that? How can I pursue that? And you are willing, as I mentioned earlier, to sometimes bring yourself into some kind of inconvenience, sometimes, together. We are told, some of our young persons in secondary school, when they are about to write their WASI exam, would study deep into the night, and in order for them not to sleep, they will have their foot in a bucket of water. Do you do that? Do you all do that? Some of you who just finished, they will have their feet in a bucket of water, and then they will make sure they have had a few cups of coffee or something like this. And some of them would take it too much that you would think that they would injure their health by that. But you ask me, say, hey, I want to pass that maths, I want to pass that science, or something like that. My dear friends, we are capable, we are even naturally capable of at least seeking the things we value very important. We are capable. We will do that. I want it. I earnestly like that. Some people, it may be about perhaps a person to marry, but we didn't encourage people becoming mad about this kind of things. A thing for careful consideration and thoughts. But it happens in young persons. Years ago, before I came to the Reformed, understanding there was I was marrying these persons, a young man and a lady. And a young man told us that when he was going after the lady, the lady introduced him to the parents, and the very first time they saw the man, they didn't like him. And so they told their daughter, don't bring this man here again. Well,
Obviously, the lady loved the man. It's the parents that didn't like the man.
And so the lady, in order to listen to the parents, told the man, anyway, let's break it. So it wouldn't work. My parents are not interested. And the young man said, well, I'm still interested. And so when they saw the man coming, they would shut the gate, the main our gate. And the man would climb the wall and get inside the wall. So before they realized, the man is inside the wall. A man nobody wanted in the house. And then they would drive him out. They would come the next time and climb the wall again. Eventually, he married her. He married her. He succeeded. Please, whether the parents liked it or not, hey, he got it. Now, my point is simply this. We are capable of being very earnest about the things that are precious to us, things that we value, to seek it so intently, so seriously, until we got it. My dear friend, when the Bible says seek the Lord, think of it. Do you think you can seek the Lord and find Him in any less serious manner? I really want to become a Christian. It's a nice thing to be a Christian and to be found among Christian persons. And really, I like to be one of them. And it's not an urgent matter, a frequent thing in your heart. Friends, the Lord won't bless that. You will not find Him. We will. Friends, before, I wanted to read this passage rather later. I'd like you to see that now. Jeremiah, once you are, if you open to your passage there, if it is about the last part, one passage I might read to you, but so you bear with me. So Jeremiah chapter 29. Listen to the prophet. Jeremiah chapter 29. And it's verse, I think it's 13. Jeremiah chapter 29. And let me start from 12 to make it a bit clearer. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And then look at 13. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. When the Bible says with all your heart, any time you meet that phrase, it means it is your supreme interest. It surpasses every other care in your life. You have other concerns for sure. You have other things to attend to for sure. But somehow, this particular one rises and it becomes your noblest, highest, most supreme interest. All-absorbing concern. You say, this is the thing I want more than anything else. This is the only thing I say. If I don't get it, I must even die in pursuit of that. And it is the Lord. Yes, so person who should young couple in idea, a bro wa conning in us or a young person which may share your mom would be a brebom, maybe a school person will be a school be, maybe a person which may be human being in a year and so we joining in. And so person will be radio hampara. It shall say a idea, a was sir, a bro, a shedding in us or. And son, wait me on. Your friends, after all, is that not just consistent? It is the Lord you seek. It is the Lord of all glory you seek. He's the Lord who owns your life. He's the one you seek. You seek Him to deal with you on the thing that would ruin your life, sin. Sin will ruin us. If I'm not forgiving, I perish eternally. Should that not be my supreme, most supreme interest? Now, without Him, I cannot know a truly meaningful life. I will waste away my years merely buying and spending. I beg your pardon, earning and spending. And so that will be the kind of life I live. Empty, pointless, like that. That's all I will live. And then eventually be judged by Him. So think of it. He is the one we truly need. Once you grasp it, you see how clear and now natural it is that I must truly seek Him and make Him the chief object of all my interest. And so the prophet tells us, well, in that passage again, back to Isaiah 55, seek ye the Lord. Let Him be the chief interest you desire to know Him. Friends, is that so with you? I'm sure you have other cares in this life. I'm sure you have other interest in this life, so you say, So what do I do with them? These are the interests in my heart, and these are other pursuits in my heart. If are these days, and friends, I have to warn you about those these days, it's some people have been told that, you can set up your own interests, your big pursuits, you can set them up there, and then only seek God so that He can help you achieve that. It's the kind of teaching everywhere. No, you can't be your own boss. Fix wonderful things in your eyes. I really want to get there. I really must get there. But oh, wait a minute. You won't get it unless God helps you. And so just get God's help alongside. So bring Him alongside. Ask Him, oh Lord, well, I cannot achieve my aim unless You are with me. So come alongside me and I'll get there. And that's the kind of thing they tell people. It's the most dangerous idea, friend. It is the most nonsensical idea that Almighty God becomes a mere assistant to my aims, my interests. He is an assistant. I am the boss. Come on. This is so offensive. This is such a sin and disregard for God. God says no. Everything else, every other interest must actually be dwarfed in my eyes, must be brought down, and He must be my supreme interest. I say, He is the one I want, even if I should have Him and have nothing else, I should be satisfied. If I should have Him and everything else denied me, that should be okay for me. If you seek Him this way, this is what it means to seek Him with all your heart. He is all you really wanted. He is all your, He is the very object of all your aims. Then the promise is this, He will be found. You will find Him. You will come to know that He is there. And not only that He is there, but that He's brought you to Himself in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Adria Yadiman in Purple Brain is there. Ya bro boy ye boy, ya wo bit me ya botae a hodo ya dreamo. Oh me person me say, oh me person would you say, oh me person me could we say. Now one catcher and say, I saw one so wound to me ain't ya senyanko pon boawa. Into what dear, so what should shed dear and crowd ya fanyanko pon kamu. Be senyanko pon se umra umbe umwa. And the what person you go from back corner, who wants a car, who put a new one, that we need solo. Now, in rather some churches say, "Hey, Adrian, enye kra, emano en sorry what we dream of." It's not saying, "Man, that's a chenny." I say, "Chenny say, me nipano, me she shed me put a ye, me you go pon or ye abo di na irano, or me boafo, into one ye ora." Money or cut it for her. Mia. Mia no mash shame in Shishay. Mia no more be premier. Davida. So best will be ready for her. Or no, as I say, Yadian King in a sir ever winning. And yes, I want to make Shishamida. You will never seek Him sincerely until everything else is dwarfed. And you can sincerely say, let me have Him. Let Him receive me, and if He likes, let Him not give me anything else. I will be satisfied with Him. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ promised. You know, my dear friends, you remember that the Lord Jesus Christ used a number of parables to stress this. I can remind you of two of them. Remember, we even teach that children, we call it the parable of the pearl of great price. You remember that? A person who is a seeker. He seeks pearls. He seeks precious things. He discovers one. He sees that one and says, ah, as for this one, I can sell everything and have this one. That's how we seek the Lord. You say, God, can I really know Him? Can He be my God? So that I can truly depend upon Him, love Him, experience this love in my life. Then I will come to Him. And then, once you discover, you are brought in, you say, Everything else is so petty. Everything else is so pointless in comparison with him. The Lord Jesus Christ told that similar parable. This time, a man was going to buy a land. And as he went to buy it, now, the way the Lord made the parable so short, you have to assume that a price had been given the man. And as the man was looking, just surveying the land, he spotted something there. He saw a treasure in the land. And then, without any further argument, he told the man, "Say, I'll buy the land." And this man went to sell everything else that he had to buy only this piece. He knew what he discovered there. My dear friends, if you will sincerely seek the Lord, now you start by realizing that you do not really know him. That you know he's there, but you've not worshipped him, desired him, loved him, submitted to him, or desired even to walk with him. You have to acknowledge this. And then there has to be that desire that starts in our hearts. I want to then know this God. I want to live under his rule. I want to know how it is to have him answer my prayers and bless my life according to his wisdom and according to his own kindness. This must rise in my heart. And look at our passage. Something else will follow. Verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Anytime you want to seek the Lord, a sense of your sinfulness comes up. It comes up. And the amazing thing is, friends, this is so helpful. It may feel for a time to be disturbing, depressing, difficult, but it turns out to be a blessing. You come to realize that, well, I want to know this God, but I am a sinner. I'm not only a sinner in the kind of things I do only, but in my thoughts also. How I think, how I feel, the things I value, the things I treasure. These things are selfish. It's all for me. I am the center of my life. Everything must revolve around me and please me. And you begin to feel shame about this. And you become even anxious and worried. If you are seeking the Lord, these things come up. If you want to seek him with all your heart, these things come up. And then, if you are sincere, then the blessing is this. The Savior paid for all that. The Lord Jesus Christ died that not only my outward sins may be forgiven me, but my inward selfish thoughts, my inward proud thoughts, the self-centered mindset may all be pardoned by God because they are offensive to him. And for these things, he died on the cross of Calvary to bear that penalty once and for all those that come to him. And so we come to him in this way and seek him. Friend, this is one of the basics you must know. We call them the basics of life. You have to know them. Even if you only know them in your head, it wouldn't be enough. It wouldn't make you a saved person, but at least you should be aware of it. That I must seek God. I must seek him in order to find him. And if I want to seek him, I must come to a point where I realize I need him more than anything else. He is the one I supremely want and long for. And that while I desire him, I must face up to the fact that I've sinned against him. And I've not desired him or sought him. And yet his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, came to suffer that I may be forgiven, that I may be able to come truly to him, to seek him and find. Yes, we are this year, this will be our honor. St. Juniba Kunti, Editing Kodano Sano. Right at the early stages of our life. May a day and a name who in young Kopong. May a day and a name who in young Kopong and young Kitong Diempo, Elma Briabomo. ese sauti asese se me hwehwe ne mehuno a yesa me de makoma nyina hwehwe nche se enu onu beye de me hwehwe ne ebru bibia so ewa brebom. And so, my dear friends, so it is. Now, let me read you the promise there again, because I want to begin to come to the last point and begin to close. Verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. While he may be found. While he is near. There are times when the Lord is near. It is helpful to know that, friend. Emrebi ba nyankopon ebeyi eyeso be wo samreno because emrebi ba ba nyankopon embeyo eyam papa. There are times when God is so near. There are times when He may seem afar off. When are the times when God seems so near? When a measure of understanding of the grace that is in Christ is so given you. So you have set clarity. You may not have understood anything about the Bible, but the fact that a Savior came to lay down His life for sinners becomes so clear. Not just clear, it becomes so, if you like, reasonable and wonderful to you. Then the Lord is near. Why? Because you are seeing truth about His dealings with people. There may be times when your sons you decided to ignore, begin to worry you. Something happens, and conscience is stirred. This is a behavior you've been engaging in for so long. But for now, you seem particularly troubled. Trouble not because anybody will punish you necessarily. You don't know how it went, but you know that you seem to be worried now over that behavior, over that attitude. Well, the Lord is near because He's touching your conscience, awakening you to begin to consider how you're behaving and the kind of lifestyle you're living in. The Lord is sometimes near when He manifests some particular kindness, and you particularly begin to feel that you do not deserve that kindness. Something happens. It's one of the beautiful sermons in Luke chapter 13. God shows kindness to people, and some people think, because I've received this kindness, it means God approves of me. Not always. In fact, oftener, it is not because God approves of you, but rather, God, the Bible says, is showing you that goodness so you may repent, so you may feel shame about what you've done against you. There are times when God is near, when He manifests some special kindness to you. And there's in addition to the kindness, there's a sense that you do not deserve it. You know what God is doing? It's to stir you up to a sense of debt. I owe God, and yet here am I. I'm rebelling against Him. So as you contrast it, you may be moved to come to Him. God is near when sometimes the idea about the hereafter begins to stir. Well, you'll be very busy, absorbed with life, going up and down with business. Then, amazingly, life hereafter begins to be a matter of concern. You begin to think, so what happens? So I will die one day. And then what happens? This thing begins to hit you. And to begin to stir a measure of concern. God is near because He's making spiritual realities come near to you. If they will, perhaps I'll move you to desire it and come to the Lord. But there are such things as these, and there are a few more examples I could give you. You see, your text may say, Shishenyan kupon bra obeni. You see, I do maybe a nyan kupon benye. Ebini bra, ebiana aswadin bia matnemu emre tintinti, a fade mini dia see a tete me. And yes, I'll be back punish me, and then be a million. But as I said, I tete, yes, in young copon or bay, or the ninsa e kawutibua. And maybe, but why are you busy? Down would ya pana bona wona with Jumamusa, but maybe, but I think unquain nini re ye. I shall see about my dream.
No, she has the wall dream with a crap. A quay, a dear DPA or white jeans, so you say, young coupon or what Ben? It's sons of a seven and new man. Not some can one shock crawl, one person who wouldn't be, you know, or one eddy a Ben white jenny, said the abaya. I feel better than any brim. Young coupon Ben, said I feel the woman, Mopro. But if you are what if your idea is a Christian McDonald? Ma, a young one would be a white jeans, so. Into what dream one, a tall against all crime being so. What you say will trim and chess it, why JD and papa, but I mean, you credit what you say. No, I shall say, young woman, who will pass out after India, a tassum, young compound of what beno. Near the other say, bro, what beno, Shushano. So that text says, seek him while he is near. When the Lord is near, take advantage of that, friends, and seek him. And ask him, oh Lord, now, I'm not going to turn away. I come. I face up to what I've done. I have sinned in thought and in life. Lay your case before him and cast all your hopes upon the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And show, dear friend, that you trust him in nothing. Because there's no good in us that can stand before the holy eye of God. Abandon all self-righteousness, all self-confidence must all be stripped away, and come and see your standing before God as a sinner, trusting only in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he would have mercy. Friends, let me close with an implicit warning in the text. The text carries the warning because of how he puts it. Look at verse 6 there. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. He may be found at some times. He may not be found at some times. He may be near at some times. He may not be near at some times. And so there's a danger, there's a warning implicit in that text. There are times when God may not be found. What are the times? Before I get into that and I begin to close, let me read you a passage. This will be the last one, friends, because I'll begin to close. In Hebrews chapter 12. This is a very solemn text. Hebrews chapter 12. And I read you verses 15 to 17. Hebrews chapter 12. Verses 15 to 17. Listen to this. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, and particularly 16 and 17. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. And 17, and ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. He sought to be able to receive the blessing of his father with tears. He went to the father saying, Father, bless me too. When he realized the blessing had been given to his brother, and yet the father had to tell him, I'm sorry, my son, I've given it to your brother. And the Bible uses that as a warning to us. There is a time when the Lord may not be found. When is that time? When I have lost the capacity to repent, then you cannot really sincerely say you are seeking him. Is there a time I may lose the capacity to repent? Yes. Dear friend, that's the danger. And especially it is the danger of friends like us here, who are constantly coming to church, and you are coming to a gospel service, and you are hearing about the invitation to repent, and you are delayed, you stand in great danger. You may, no human being will be able to know when this happens, except when some of the fruits later. You keep coming, you keep listening, but you say, you don't say it with your lips. It's in your heart. No. No. I don't want to give up that sin. No. I understand what you're saying.
I can see that it's reasonable. I can see that I need it. I can see that it's true. But no, no, I wouldn't. I won't stop that sin. Forget it, preacher. Forget it. I don't want to turn. You are resolving almost like that in your heart. Dear friends, the danger is a day will come. You may see clearly. Oh, salvation is true. Becoming a Christian is real. But for yourself, you cannot repent. You cannot say, Lord, I want it. You snubbed it for too long. Dear friends, these things are very precious. Salvation is very precious to God. It cost him his son. His own son had to come down equal with him. The Lord Jesus Christ. You dare not despise that. Friends, a time will come when you cannot find him because you snubbed the Lord for so long. And you did that willfully, deliberately. You know, there are times when, apart from that, there will be times when you get entirely absorbed with the affairs of life. You cannot have the ears even to listen. Dear friend, these things come. You know, I give this example always. And I've seen that a number of times, my dear friends. Years ago, friends, I have a little time to tell you this. Years ago, there was this man whom the church that I was pastoring there showed some great kindness. Kindness because the church at the time had to bear the costs of his fairly expensive surgery at the time. As the church did that. And then the man began to come to church. He seemed interested initially. He was coming to church frequently. And we know, nobody knows what happened later. This man was in fact not interested that much in church. You meet him in town, and then he always said, oh, the family has sent me to go and solve a problem that day, in that village. And he goes, nothing, oh, you know, no, I'm on my way to that town also. And every time, he was like that. And then, after some years, I forget how many years, probably 10, 12 years, that's the point of it. When we started Grace Reformed Baptist Church in Cape Coast, the man started coming again. For what reason, I don't know. And friends, believe me, I hope I give you due respect. If people come to our meetings now, and what I'm coming to say of happens to them, I do not know your difficulties, I do not know your challenges, and I do not necessarily imply that you are falling into the same state like the man I'm describing. I do not intend that, even though it is a warning to all of us. Now this man comes to a meeting. I remember he sits right in front of the preacher, I mean, in the direction of the preacher, so you can see him. This man comes to church, and the very moment the preacher starts, he sleeps. I don't think it was deliberate. It was simply because he was too tired. And he did that, and then the next time we heard, the man was dead. There's a time when you still live, but cannot even have the ear to listen again. It's so solemn, friends. You're not dead. God hasn't taken away your life. You simply cannot hear it anymore. You told God by your behavior, I don't like that message. I'm not interested. And God's okay, I'm taking it. You won't hear it anymore. Sleep will fall over you. You know he uses that when he wants to punish his enemies. Again, with due respect, you may be a tired person if you find yourself slumbering away this morning, maybe due to entirely different circumstances, but it's a solemn thing. A time come when you cannot listen anymore. Oh, my dear friends, these are solemn. A time comes when perhaps, again, may the Lord be merciful to us, a disturbing illness causes you to be unable to just focus on the message of grace anymore. You're still living, but you cannot ponder the message of God's love for sinners. And then you cannot even understand, nor seek, and come to the Lord. We are not even talking about death, huh? Which is a factor as well. And a time comes when, according to Hebrews 12, you get hardened. Sin has a terrible thing it does. The more I sin, and the more I want to sin, the more hardened I become. Sin, as it were, cast a dust over my spiritual sensitivities gradually. Conscience become toughened. I sin the first time, it feels uneasy. The third time, the uneasiness go away. The ninth time, without any shame and repentance, I now engage in excuses. The 20th time, perhaps, and I'm defending it. And then eventually, I'm hardened. It's no longer a part of my thinking. It's normal. So that I begin to be toughened by sin. So I cannot repent. You cannot repent. You cannot trust in the Savior. No repentance, no trust in the Savior. Because you only come to trust in the Savior when you realize, oh Lord, I am a sinner. And I long that the sin be forgiven me and washed and taken away, that I may be right with you. And if you are sincere, the Lord helps you to see. Look at what the Savior has done. You understand it in your head, this time it grips your heart. The Savior has done all that I could never do. He came, obeyed the laws of his Father perfectly, that his righteousness may be given to me, a poor, unworthy sinner. And so you cast your soul upon him. You throw away all confidence in anything you could do, or any admiration of yourself, or any self-confidence, or die away. And you say, I come to the Savior only, who died for needy sinners like me. And if I am sincere, the Lord hears you, and he blesses you, washes away your sins, changes you, and you become his. A Christian, a child of God, somebody who can walk with God. Friends, I have to begin to close. Dear Kayanese, Sheye, and maybe you are a young coupon bay. And maybe you also nyan coupon on bay. And maybe you beba. So wo poe radia sam po 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 po. And maybe baba. The obetinum po en fao rubio. Kubetu actually. Why it's a wo po nyan coupon sam po po po. A big cross, so the obeba. But if you go ubam po won tishia view. A big offer. A brebom of bread. A best shawa masse. Wa what na wa. That's the thing, my brother. When they do it, when they break it to a crowd, it's me again with crowd. It's a maybe. Nay, ya, nay, bad dream. I fear the name in a cop. And maybe, Baba, I fear the. And share, born in on the woman. A best family, I must say. I think maybe no crowd says, sanity, I say, yeah. It won't make a man, won't make a man who will be ready. Mr. Shana wem bunyan kopon asemia deba. No one yawa jina se. Oh, me ba suriya de. Woba se obetiasi wutrim. And chesa wujidi ansa. It's a se, dear, what tiasi wutrim no. E nunu wakuma wu. Ma wisha si di yao efa wuboni no hon. Na wube radi wase watu e nidasu wubi a chene. Wum chere shiara. Bibi wube chimiaye. And now, Bibia, what you say, what that would be a way out, dear woman, and then young Copon be show. Ning, you know, say, yet preaching his son and sons and Yanu cray, and when young Copon in him. Then they will say, you are dear Sir Christo Nuna, which in addition, Bodian said, you are paying young Copon be PA, or the Abanich, Missel, she saw your city, my son, Simeon, and maybe Baba, I'm showing to me a new hobby, and maybe Baba. And she baba said, me nyan to me for some shame rabbi. What you ask here? It's woman who said, woman to me, sir, woman. His son said, well, come on, touch me, and you mother brave to do. Friends, I close with this, with our text. Look at it again. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near.